You've heard that time is money. Well, consider this an investment on a way to building wealth that's always right on the money. We're sitting down with local experts that all have a mind for money.
Hello and welcome to A Mind for Money with Citizens Bank. My name is Timmy Stanifer, and as always, I'm your host. And today with me, I have Steph Bonesteel, and she's going to be talking to us about the economy. And it's kind of a bigger picture episode today, more of a grand overview of what's going on in the world, what the U.S. market and how that might affect us as individuals. But yeah, Steph, thanks for coming in today
and
having a chat with me. You want to introduce yourself and let us know, your background and why you might be a good source of information for this type of question?
Sure. My name is Steph Bonesteel. I am the Senior Vice President here at Citizens Bank, Senior Vice President of Marketing. And I have been in banking for 20 years here at Citizens for the last six of those 20. And although I focus on marketing now, I have studied the economy throughout my career, and I actually did minor in economics in college. So
awesome.
Something that impacts all of us certainly impacts us in the financial sector, but all of us too as consumers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is something that affects everyone, like you said. It affects businesses, it affects the bank as a whole, and it affects people as a consumer. It affects me and you individually, it affects everyone individually. And we're going to talk today about what those effects are, kind of, like I said, on a grand scale, and things that you can maybe do as an individual to maybe mitigate some of the negative effects, or maybe try to lean into some of the positive effects of what's going on into the economy. So yeah, let's get right into it. And Steph, there's a lot going on right now. It's, 2022, and interest rates are going up a lot, and inflation is pretty high right now too. And I'm sure everyone has heard a lot of talk about how inflation's running pretty high, a lot higher than usual. Can you just explain from a base level, what is inflation? And, why should we care? Why would inflation affect us as individuals?
So, inflation is definitely a buzzword right now. Simply put, inflation is an increase in prices of goods and services over a period of time. Another way you can look at it is that inflation is a decrease in the purchasing power of your money. Again, over time. That's a key element here. And the reason we should care is because we're all consumers. We all are out there purchasing goods and services, most of us every day of our lives. So when those things are costing us more, it hurts. You're going to feel it. It has an immediate impact.
Okay, so inflation is mostly a bad thing then?
Well, not necessarily. Inflation itself is a natural, normal thing. We always have some inflation, and it's something. If you think about, we know that a movie ticket costs $3 or $4 more now than it did 10 or 12 years ago. Let's say we do expect prices to go up some over a period of time. What we're experiencing now is a period of high inflation, meaning that prices are jumping a lot in a short period of time.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, and it has has an immediate impact on your budget, because your income probably is not jumping as high. We'd all love if it was, but if your income isn't keeping pace with how much prices are rising, then you've got less bang for your buck.
Mm-hmm. And also, if you have money that is sitting idle, if you had $10,000 a year or two ago, and that $10,000 has been, sitting in a mattress, under your mattress, that $10,000 is going to be able to buy less. Like you said, that the purchasing power, if things are more expensive, that $10,000, if it's still just $10,000 and things are more expensive, that $10,000 is going to take you less distance.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And we've been seeing it in a lot of places. As a lot of people may know, I'm a mortgage lender, and we've seen it a lot in house prices, and all the way down to buying eggs. Everything has been kind of affected by this. So what would you say is more normal inflation, and what is a higher inflation, and what are we experiencing now, and where do we kind of fall into that whole spectrum?
Yeah, and it definitely is a spectrum. That's a good way to put it. So a normal inflation rate, I would say about 2% is acceptable and what is considered normal. over the last 40 years, it has fluctuated a little above and below that 2% mark, but nothing drastic, nothing that has really made a noticeable difference. What we're seeing now are inflation rates over 8%. So, you know, 2% is normal. We're over 8 now. We're 4 times what would be considered
an acceptable. We're basically going up 4 years worth of inflation in a year.
Yeah. It's like we fast forwarded. We just did a leap forward. And that's the highest it's been in, well, really since the early 1980s. So that means that a lot of people have never experienced a period of high inflation like we're seeing now. Mm-hmm. Certainly I was in grade school then and I wasn't buying my own things. I was around, but, you know, it wasn't, I'm sure it impacted my parents and what was going on in our household, but mm-hmm. it's nothing that, you know, I've had to adjust to as, you know, doing my own finances.
Yeah. Yeah. So what causes it to jump to that type of level? What are the factors that contribute to inflation being, you know, 4 times a standard rate?
Yeah. So there are quite a few factors that come into the economy as a whole and inflation in particular. And one of the biggest of those is supply and demand. You know, if you go back to, you know, something we all probably learned in the basic, classes back, I know my kids have even learned about this in grade school too, but when there's more demand for goods than there is supply for those goods, that's going to drive the prices up. And I read an article recently that really, it seems so obvious now, but during the pandemic, because we weren't out consuming services, we weren't getting haircuts, we weren't going out to dinner, there wasn't travel happening very much, we were spending more money on goods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're stuck at home. Hey, let's get a new TV. You know, let's, you know, remodel this, you know, room of our house, whatever. And it could have been even, you know, other things too, but we consumed more goods than, you know, above average there. And that just kind of meant that there was less, you know, there became a shortage, so to speak.
Well, on top of that, there was, you know, very drastic supply chain shortages as well.
Yeah.
So it was a compounding increased consumption with decreased supply. And, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword in that, you know, in that regard. You know, I have a lot of friends in production of, you know, like plastics materials, even things that you don't think about that would be necessary to make the wheels of production go. But, you know, like the plastic pieces inside your cars,
mm-hmm.
you know, things like that. You can't finish making cars if there's not the plastic pieces to finish the trim on the inside of your car. And if there's not plastic being delivered to, you know, if that gets disrupted all the way down, then it just, you know, makes it so the end product isn't there. So there's just so many of the wheels that usually keep turning to keep supply going slowed down or stopped. And then on top of that, like you said, yeah, people were consuming at a much higher rate than normal on goods.
Right. Definitely. And I mean, I think probably everybody's experience where they, you know, go buy something and it's not on the shelf. Or if you order something, they're like, well, that's going to be 12 weeks until it's available. Okay. Well, yeah. Like you know, the supply chain is a very complex thing. And obviously there's a lot that's been impacting it. So again, yeah, that's going to drive up prices. Another thing is global conflict, which unfortunately we are seeing right now too. How that comes into play is it can disrupt, it can disrupt a lot of things, but one thing is the supply, the access to things, natural resources like oil is a biggie. Oil drives up the price of fuel. We've all experienced that too. And not only does it cost more to fill up your gas tank, but it costs more to get goods to their locations. It, you know, you think about the transportation that happens to get something from factory to store. That is costing more too. So that's going to be passed along in higher prices. And the other, I would say the third biggest thing is, right now we're experiencing a time of low employment, shortages in the workplace, a lot of factors that are causing that as well. But ultimately what it's doing is it's driving up wages. There's a lot of stores, you know, at just all sorts of places that are having to pay more to retain their workforce. And what that does too, you know, ultimately the companies need to account for that and make up for that somehow. And a lot of times it's just through raising prices as well.
Yeah. It's just so many factors that go into mm-hmm. it that, you know, there's not just a single thing that you can point to. Obviously, with, like you said, the pandemic, there were some bigger factors than normal that really exaggerated and the issue and kind of pushed inflation to a further point. But yeah, it is a complicated system of a lot of different things that end up kind of being a domino effect of, because this is going on, then this happens and it makes prices go up. And then this kind of happens, so makes prices go up, and it all kind of butts into each other a little bit. So what can we do as individuals when inflation is high like this? Like what kind of steps can we take to, you know, do what we can to make our money lose less value, I guess, is basically the best way to put it.
Yeah. So unfortunately, as individuals, you know, we're not going to make inflation go away. There's really not anything we can do. I kind of compare inflation, maybe the economy as a whole, to the weather. That first off, it runs in cycles. And secondly, it is just something it's better to adapt to the conditions, really, than think that you can change it. That being said, you know, there are some government entities like the Federal Reserve that will raise or lower interest rates or set other monetary policy to try to improve economic conditions. But again, there's so much at play that, you know, that may help steer things in the right direction. But again, it's you know, there's so many things, forces pulling and pushing that it's one thing isn't good. There's no like silver bullet that's going to fix it. So again, adjusting to conditions, probably your best bet. The first thing you probably want to do, we've really hammered home the importance of a personal budget. We've talked about it on this podcast a lot. And it's great if you've got a budget, but you're going to want to revisit it now, because things are costing you more. You know, at the very least, you're paying more at the gas station, you're paying more at the grocery store. And, you know, you need to eat, you need to get to work or to school. So you can't really cut those things out. What you can do is, well, first off, you may have to look at your budget and say, well, these things I need are costing me more. The things I want maybe have to decrease. I might not be able to go out for dinner as often. I may not be able to buy those new shoes I want, because again, more of my paycheck is going to the necessities. Not a great thing, but again, hopefully just short-lived. The other thing you can do is just try to be more cost-conscious. Try carpooling, maybe, or just be more mindful of where you drive, how often you drive. Try to just maybe consolidate trips, that sort of thing. And when you're shopping, maybe just try different brands, less expensive brands of things. I'm a very frugal grocery shopper, and I will try any store brand. And I found that some are equally as good as the name brand that I was buying. And sometimes you figure out you're brand loyal and you'll pay up.
Yeah, on certain
things. Just trial and error. You have to figure out, you know, what works for you. But those are just some of the easy things to try, again, to stretch that dollar further, because it's not getting you as much.
Yeah. And, you know, I know it is hard for a lot of people trying to figure out the balance of, you know, there's so few things that you can cut. You know, you may have to take, unfortunately, more extreme steps too, you know, with rent being so high too. Yeah. Can, you know, consider having a roommate if you need to, if you don't already, you know, not fun things and not, you know, not things that hopefully have to be long term. But, you know, like you said, it's kind of about adapting, because unfortunately, as individuals, there's not a whole lot we can do, which is frustrating. I understand for sure. You know, I have a lot of friends that have been kind of put into a place that is obviously less than ideal, you know, spending money wise and stuff, and you know, having to change some living conditions and whatnot to make it so that their budget is sufficient. But you know, it like you said, it is cyclical too. It is a cycle, and you know, we've never seen inflation like this last forever, and so we assume it's not going to last forever again. Obviously, we don't know for sure, but let's hope not, right?
Let's hope, yeah.
So I guess other, you know, other than that, do you have any other, you know, tips besides budget on things that you can do? I know everything kind of always goes into a budget, but yeah, right. Like, do you have any other tips of things you could do besides a budget change?
Yeah. So the budget one, again, easy, good first step. Also be mindful of what rates you're earning on savings accounts or any investments that you have. In times of higher than normal inflation, you will generally see interest rates rising. Are you going to find a 8% interest rate at a bank? No, we will. No, trust me. It just isn't going to happen, at least not now. But you want to make sure that you're earning as much as you can. Again, you're not going to keep pace with that 8% inflation, but let's just make sure you're maximizing. You're really finding the best place for your money. And that's important because you're protecting the future value of your money. Again, the more you can earn on interest, you know, obviously it's going to compound. You're going to have more at the end. And again, you're not keeping pace right now. So it's just important to, you know, find maybe things that you wouldn't have considered before. And I always suggest that talking to a financial advisor is a great way to go. A few myths I want to dispel. You don't have to be rich to use a financial advisor, and you don't need to know what you're doing either. You don't have to be a sophisticated investor. Financial advisors will really take a look at where you are. You got to start somewhere. And, you know, they can help you explore options based on what is acceptable and really makes sense for you, where you are in your life. You will find out, you know, what's appropriate for how long you're going to be investing. You know, if you're starting a retirement savings in your 20s, let's say, you may be able to assume more risk in the early, you know, because you've got the benefit of time on your side. And, you know, there's some scenarios where a high risk, high reward investment vehicle may make sense. But again, a financial advisor will really steer you in the right direction and help you find things. So again, I really suggest that people take that step. And again, don't have to be rich. Don't have to have all the answers. That's what they're for.
Yeah. And like I said, the money sitting in your mattress is only losing value sitting there, unfortunately, yeah. You know, it is definitely a safe place for it in the sense of it's not at risk of losing, you know, value in a stock market, but it's just losing value by not gaining any interest because of inflation. And that's true of any year, you know, any time that you just have money sitting in cash or sitting in a non-interest bearing account in some capacity, it's just effectively losing value the longer it's there, because inflation always exists. Like you said, maybe not in the same extremes we're seeing now, but it's always there. So, I mean, if you leave $10,000 sitting there for 10 years, that $10,000 is worth way less at the end of that 10 years if it hasn't gained any interest. And over that 10 years, it may have gained quite a bit of interest if you had invested it in something.
Right.
You know, and that's just how it works, you know? So, another thing where you can't really do anything about it, but that's just how it is. So if you leave money on the table, basically not doing anything, it's just going to lose value over time. And that's just how it works. With that, we're going to go over some do's and don'ts about, you know, handling your money and your finances, in regard to inflation and the economy as a whole. Like we were saying, this was a bit of an overview episode, but we're just going to kind of get into some do's and don'ts here. I would say, first of all, do pay attention to what things are costing you and, you know, adjust accordingly. And this is true of any budget. You know, we talked about this in a budget too. Look at your breakdowns, like analyze what you're spending in a month. And especially if you feel like you're coming up short a lot of times, look back in that month and see, okay, where did I spend my money and why am I coming up short? What things are costing me a lot of money and in what areas can I trim down on? And I would say, don't let your money be lazy. Like I was just talking about, seek out opportunities to put your money to work. I'm not saying go, you know, bet on a bunch of futures in the stock market or something like, or be crazy, but, you know, talk to an investment advisor, financial advisor, and see what might work with your plan of what you want to do with your money. Because like I said, if money's just sitting there, it's losing value. It is really what's happening. And then I, again, yeah, do talk to a financial advisor about that. Talk about strategies. Talk about ways you can put your money to work to fight high inflation or even just regular inflation, because it's going to exist, like I said. And, you know, don't worry about inflation too much, though. You know, again, we can't do anything about it, unfortunately, as individuals. You know, there's, like you said, government entities that can attempt to do what they can to adjust it and deal with it, but they can only do so much as well. So just like a lot of other things that are out of your control, like the weather, like you said, don't let yourself stress too much about it, because there, you could do the things you can do and be proactive, but don't let yourself, you know, get super frustrated and flustered, because you're not doing yourself any favors mental health wise, even that way, you know. And then it's just that's just a general personal mental health thing too, not just a financial wellness. And that's true about, you know, as we get back into more, you'll see we'll get back into more normal circumstances eventually. And as this has happened before, things work themselves out for the most part. I mean, even, you know, there are some rough results, but even when what happened in 2008 with a very serious market crash and everything, wasn't the same exact thing we're seeing now, but things ultimately work themselves out. And, you know, there are some negative results of that, but you can only do so much, you know, as an individual. So don't, letting yourself be, you know, really worried about that isn't necessarily going to help. But yeah, with that, do you have any closing thoughts or anything that you want to touch on, Steph?
Nah, basically just that, you know, keeping tabs on what's going on in the economy is, you don't have to get into the real sophisticated, you know, you don't have to read, you know, Bloomberg or the Wall Street Journal, but just, you know, paying attention in general to what's going on in the economy can help you make good money decisions. You know, nothing happens in a vacuum. You know, it impacts all of us. So it's good to be aware.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and with that, if you have any other questions on topics about economics or, you know, personal finance or any banking questions, we are obviously more than happy to hear them and maybe touch on them in a future episode. And yeah, if you have any questions or comments or you have any suggestions for any episodes coming up, feel free to send an email to heytimmy@amindformoney.com. That's heytimmy@amindformoney.com. And with that, Steph, thank you for being here today. And we thank you for watching and hope you have a great rest of your day.